Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast. This is the Collaborators Unite podcast. Chuck Anderson here, your host. And this is the show where we serve who we call big impact entrepreneurs. And that's you if you're looking to make a big positive impact in the lives of your clients, the people you work with, your communities, and even the world. And when you set a big goal like that, like making a big positive impact, there are good days, there's bad days, there's challenges along the way that we're going to experience. And some of which have to do with our habits, the things that we repeatedly do. So I thought it would be really fun to talk about that and have a guest on to talk about that who I have experienced. I have heard her speak about this topic and I'm like, yes, that's the one. So I have Ronnie Loaiza here with me today, and we're going to talk about habits. We're going to talk about whatever else we feel like talking about, but that is the main theme of the episode. Ronnie, welcome to the show.
I feel welcomed, especially when you said the word fun. I'm like, oh, I'm going to like this, because often people put habits, you know, they start thinking, okay, I know I need good habits. I need better habits. And they get a little stressed, anxious. They're still interested, obviously, because they seek out to learn the good habits. But I like that you use the word fun. And that has a lot to do with how you create habits, by the way.
I'm really glad you said that, because sometimes we don't think of the fun and the impact that that can make in our businesses, the work that we do. And I have a good friend that says all the time that if it's not fun, it's not worth doing. And so I love that. Well, let's start, Ronnie. Have you tell everybody a little bit more who you are, the work that you do, and whatever else you want to tell us about your story, how it came to be that you're doing what you're doing now. And that'll be a launching pad for the topic.
Okay. Remember Cliff Notes, or am I dating myself? Here's a really fast Cliff Note. I don't think they exist anymore with AI, but I was a personal trainer. And the reason I became a personal trainer, from being in PR, also in news, I used to do news in LA on radio, is because that for me, that just started fading. Like you said, if you're not having fun, what's the point? I wasn't watering the grass there anymore. And my health was taking a toll. Fast forward, after many Western medical doctors, chiropractors, acupuncture, you name it, I tried everything. My back, my hip hurt. I was finally, after doing all that, I was put with a chiropractor who really listened. That's the key thing. Really listened to me and said, you know what? I think you've been pounding the heck out of your body. And guess what? You're getting old. Okay. I was 45 and I was like, okay. And he's like, meaning that you, being as short as you are, and you pound the heck out of your body, because I used to do step aerobics. Remember that? I used to run, jog, all this stuff, dance. And he's like, and you don't really weight train. I'm like, well, I dabble. I go around. I try out the machines, but I didn't really know how to weight train. He said, well, we talked all about menopause and everything, but he said, you need to boost your metabolism and you need more muscle, and you need to know how to do it properly, and you need more bone density, which was true because I had osteopenia, which is on the range of just about to get osteoporosis, which is lack of bone density. So he put me with a corrective exercise personal trainer. I'm like, okay, I'd had personal trainers before. Oh my gosh, Chuck, I didn't know what a really good personal trainer was until I had a good personal trainer. No shade on the other ones. The other ones knew their stuff, you know, but they kind of went with the cookie cutter. Here's your workout. Talked to me during the whole session. I found out more about them than they did about me. Counted reps. She really knew her stuff in corrective exercise. I not only lost body fat, which I didn't need to, but I lost body fat because I was getting lean. My metabolism boosted. I was building muscle. I felt so much better. I did not need to get my back fused. I now have 5 herniated discs. I worked with her, and within 2 weeks, the lower spine, the L's, stopped hurting. Because I was working out not so well for me. Anyway, I got so enthusiastic about it after a year, my insurance stopped paying for it. She's like, you need to be a personal trainer. You need to be a personal trainer. I was 46. I'm like, who does that? Especially in LA. This is like La La Land. Everybody's in their 20s, you know, working at a gym. But then I thought about it one day. I'm like, you know what? I think I'll become a personal trainer. And my mission, Chuck, was for each client to be as fit as that person could be. Not the magazines, not the other goals, as you can be. And in my personal training, I'm getting to the habits. I saw that my clients, you know, all the joking aside, but I made it fun, is all the successful ones. Not that I didn't have successful ones, but you know, some people kind of wane away and they leave and they quit. But the ones that didn't quit is because it became a habit. I would joke around with some people like, you get dressed at work to go work out. they're more than likely to stop at the gym if they're dressed for it. You go, I don't care if you people watch in the lobby for 5 minutes, you show up same time. And it became a habit. Inevitably, they would do more, right? Just the point of doing it, not how much or the workout. And people would ask me, well, should I do this or should I do that? Should I do cardio or should I do Pilates? Yes. What? Do what you will do when you're not with me. Because people, what will you do when you least feel like it, when you're not motivated, when you feel lethargic? What's the minimal amount that you will do? Not even can you do, that you will do. Do something you enjoy. So I would get them in the habit of doing something. Fast forward, pandemic hit. I was training people driving all over LA and boom, I couldn't drive to them anymore. And people got on Zoom with me. And I got at least four people like, you know, my boss, my sister, my good friend, they weren't working out. They weren't taking care of themselves or eating right. Everybody wanted to be indispensable. So I thought, well, maybe it's because, you know, they're the boss and they have to take care of business, or they don't want to be furloughed or laid off, so they're always available, whatever it was. It really wasn't about the time issue. We had the time, but they were anxious times. It was always something else. And I would really get into it with them and see what's really holding you back. Some of them were self-conscious working out at home. So we kind of dealt with that with the kids working out the dining room table, the partner at home, asking for help. We really worked it out. Some people, it was the schedule, 5 minutes in the morning, 5 minutes in the afternoon, 5 minutes before you make dinner. Whatever it was, we found a way to get them in a habit. Notice the word habit. I was not a habit coach. I just kind of did my own thing. And people were telling me you should really coach. I thought they meant fitness coaching. What they really wanted was a mindset coach, a lifestyle coach, whatever. I was cynical, Doug. Because all of a sudden after the pandemic, I had never heard so much about coaches in my life. Did you? Everybody was a coach.
Everybody, because it's the only thing we could do without leaving the house.
All of a sudden, everybody said, I'm a coach.
You could do it on Zoom. Yeah, I'm a coach.
And the thing is, there were real coaches that take it seriously and learn whatever it is, that domain, that area. And they're the ones that just say, well, I did it once, or I took this mini course and I'm a coach. And, you know, you got to be careful. I took it seriously. I went through the ICF accreditation, International Coaching Federation. I did the 150 hours, the mentor, the auditing, the whole thing. Wow, I loved it. I love behavior science, behavioral change. I studied that, you know, for continuing education as a personal trainer as well. And so I decided to become a coach, got my certification, have gone up in levels. I'm a master certified professional coach because I was coaching people in their careers and career growth, transition, life transition, midlife, all these things. I, Ronnie, started putting in my personal style on how they could take action. Most of the things people wanted to do, they wanted to implement these programs, plans, courses that they would buy, and it would just fall off by the wayside. They would go in their computer modules, never to be touched again. Why? Because it's not what they were doing in the first place. They were trying to add to their busy schedule. So I would take him back to what is the minimal amount that you will do? Because a fast hack, a program, a challenge, a detox, a diet will get you on track. But what keeps us all on track, whatever you're on track every day, guess what? That's a habit. So I started implementing that. Algorithms started acting up again. I started seeing habits everywhere. Don't think of pink elephants. You see them everywhere, just like coaching. And I found out there's such a thing as habit certification. So I picked a good school, went through it, took my exams, failed the first time. I was so upset. I'm like, oh, I'm the worst SAT take. They were multiple choice. I'm like, darn, if they just asked me, I could explain. Took it again, passed. I'm a certified habit coach. And I take it seriously because I do implement it in a lot, not every client, but I implement in most of them. How will we take that first step and then put it on autopilot? Because momentum always overrides motivation. Momentum feels a lot better and is celebratory in and of itself than constantly being self-disciplined or constantly revving up that willpower. That's what leads to burnout. That's what leads to be exhausted by it.
There's so much about your story that I love. One thing that really stands out to me that you said is that it's more about what you will do, not about what you can do or want to do
or should do.
You were doing or should do. Yeah. Like there's all the different ways of looking at it. But what will you do? What are some of the things that you're not? So the people who come to you now for help, what are they saying? Like what's their current experience? What is their struggle? What is the thing? You know, I've tried this and I'm doing this and I really wish I was doing that and all the things. Like, what are you hearing from them? Obviously, you help them and we'll talk about the other side. But what's their current struggle? What are you hearing from them?
Great question. In fact, I'm going to write about it. Because I've seen now in my practice, literally coaching people, that not everybody sticks with the first steps. Everybody, okay, two things. One thing is people come to me, what are some good habits? Come on. You can Google it. You can go on any AI and you'll get 7 top habits for this, 10 great habits, 2 good habits, whatever. I can give you a list. Who cares? Just like when I was a personal trainer. Look, I can give you a workout. You can YouTube it as well. It's the habit of it, right? So the main thing is, well, that depends. What habit should you have? Go back. What is your goal? And we've all heard of the why. Be really clear on your goal and really know your why. Why do we always hear about that? Because it's necessary. It's like scrubbing in before surgery. People forget to go back to the ground floor. They want to start with step one, right? So you have to go to what's your goal? Then reverse engineer it. Well, what would have you do? What's the minimal amount that will not only get you on track, but keep you on track? Even if it's the most minimal progress for that day, that particular day, because things come up. You know, you get sick, the kids' school calls, whatever. But if you do that one habit because it's automatic, it's part of you, it will keep you on track and keep progressing. Usually, it's more. You end up doing more, but at least you're doing the very minimal amount. So when the first thing is people ask is, what good habits could I create? Let's get to your goal. And then we work backwards and it's a process. We choose one tiny, and I mean tiny, and the key word is one action that with repetition will naturally form into a habit. And that's why we have to look at all these actions that are possible. I have them go through this process of picking 10 actions, and at first they're like 10, and they do. And then they want to do at least 3 or 4. It's like, well, I can do this, this, and this. Yeah, you probably could, but let's just focus on one because people always want to go fast. They want it in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. It may take months. And also, I really want to warn everybody, and please research me. Do your due diligence. There is no proven secret sauce number of how many days or hours it takes to form a habit. People will tell you 21 days, 30 days, 90 days. It depends who you are, and it depends on the action and on the context. It really does. And all the meta studies show, and I'll stop being a brainiard, but all the meta studies of when they compile different studies from different areas in different years show that it can take from literally 25 to 185 days. So don't buy the days. That's marketing.
You know, I love everything you just said. And I think it's the most honest answer that I've ever had when talking about habits and goals, you know, achieving goals and all of that, because everybody wants the convenient answer, the sound bites. Oh, it takes 21 days. It takes 3 weeks, or, you know, do this an hour a day for 90 days or whatever it is, and then it'll be automatic. My experience with myself, some habits are easy to put in place.
Yeah.
Some not so much, right? Like going to the gym, not my favorite thing. It gets back to what will you do and what should you do. So it's still a should for me. But there's other things that I do, especially when it comes to my business, that are really easy for me to do. And I know that if I do those things repeatedly, they're going to get to a certain result. And so there's a direct correlation that in my mind between the goal I want to achieve and the habit that, and I think there's, and you can correct me because you're the habit expert, but I always look at it as go, there's habits that if I do this thing repeatedly, it's going to get me closer to that goal. But then on the other side, there's also habits that I'm currently doing that could be taking me further away from that goal. You know, is that
accurate? You're absolutely 100% on point.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you think of one real quickly? Share. One that's keeping you from your goal, any goal.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things is that we want to grow our events over the next year. We want to triple the size of our virtual events. And one of the things that I feel like that needs is some very dedicated focus on that goal. One of the things, I've always joked about this with my other entrepreneur friends, is that I can sneeze and have 1,000 new ideas and I want to do them all. And wow. So my bad habit is I get an idea that I think is so good that it diverts my focus. And I'm like, oh, I want to do that now in conjunction with this other thing. And at one point, and I kid you not, I had a planning system that I created where I could simultaneously manage habits for about 10 different goals. And I'll tell you how well that worked. It didn't work at all. It failed miserably, like crashed and burned really, really, really bad. Until I learned to focus on the thing that matters to me the most. So, you know, it's for me, the awareness of the habit that takes me off track is this, you know, getting a good idea, and many of them are good, and I want to do them all. And it's learning how to decide, is this really what I'm doing right now, or is this not what I'm doing right now?
Right. And I'm so glad you used that, because one of the main things, I'm going to have it in a workshop I'm holding. It's going to be a monthly workshop, but the first one, maybe I shouldn't say the date, but the first one is coming up. I can give you the link.
And we'll put a link there for
okay.
you.
Okay. One of the main things is people don't know where to start because they have so many great ideas, right? And so it's your habitual way of thinking. That's your habitual way of approaching a new goal or the main goal, right? That's your habitual default MO. That is your MO. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. It's great to have a lot of ideas. Let's say this is hypothetical. I'm not coaching you right now, but let's say hypothetical. What's the one thing that will view instead of the habit of doing? And I think you might be mistaking a habit for a to-do. A habit is what you do naturally without thinking about it. What you do consistently every day. Is a habit. So what's the one thing that will always take you to that main goal, whether it's one of those things? So for example, you could schedule today, I'm going to work on social media. Tomorrow, I'm going to use this exact same time, but my habit is to work on this goal. I'm going to use this exact same time for outreach, possible clients. The next day you may decide I'm going to do outreach to network and get guests and get experts. See what I'm saying? And next day could just be research. So the thing is, you're doing the same habit of dedicating this time for it, but it doesn't mean you have to do all those things every day. Mm-hmm. See, slow it down. I'll use the easy peasy thing to wrap your head around is when I was a personal trainer, still am, people want to change up the routines. That's not a habit. You are in the habit of working out every day or doing something active. It's weird if you don't, because it becomes part of your identity. Think of something you do every day without thinking about it. For many people, we use brushing your teeth. Some people don't brush their teeth 7 days a week, but let's not go there. But let's just say every day, you don't think about it. You don't have to think, how do I do this? Will I do it? You never pause to think, should I brush my teeth? You just do. It's part of your morning routine. It's part of your nightly routine. So our series of habits make up our routines. So as a personal trainer, I always changed up the routines. Today, you're going to do this muscle group. Tomorrow, you're going to do something else. The next day, you're going to rest and take a walk. The next day, maybe you'll go swimming, or somebody's like, I got to get my yoga in twice a week. Okay, let's factor that in. But the habit of doing something is different than the routine. You should change up your routine. And also, habits are nature's way of putting us on autopilot. So that's what takes priority. What's already in you, autopilot, always takes priority. You do the minimal amount of what's important to your brain. The rest of it, and I'll give you another number, 40 to 50% of our days, each one of us, 40 to 50% of it is driven by our habits. The rest are not. So actually, your habits prioritize. The rest of it, good to go. And it helps you in, like, if your kid's school calls or something happens, clients need you, whatever. Things get in the way. So I always put my people on plan A, plan B. I plan to do this at 8 a.m., blah, 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 till whatever in this context, in this room, this office, at the gym, whatever it is, right? Plan B. If fill in the blank, if mud hits the windshield, whatever, then I'll do it. Boom. If then. So if I didn't do it at 8, I chose 4 p.m. Because people don't plan B. They just think, okay, the day went away. The day escaped me. I didn't get to it. This happened. Always put a plan B, because that's your habit. The routine is different. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, but just even the having a plan B. So here's my plan A, here's my plan B. And if you always do that, that is a habit, like having that in place versus what the actual plan is. And I'm wondering too, because just so many of our audience members are entrepreneurial, they identify as coaches or transformational leaders. One of the things that I find in this industry is that we are dreamers. We're very happy, heartfelt people. We want to see people succeed. And we want to also succeed simultaneously by doing the service. And there's lots of goal setting and there's all these things. So help our audience, like, what are some of the things they can do to, first of all, I think, have the distinction between a routine and a habit. And then what do they start to do in terms of making sure that the habits support what they're saying, you know, they really want?
Right. Okay. So it goes back to...
And that's a deep question. I know there was a lot there.
No. I know. Multi-layered, I guess you would put it, is, again, keep your eye on the ball. What is it that you really want and why, you know? But I guess I would say the ground floor, when you're going through the process of picking an action that will form into a habit, don't pick a habit, pick an action that will form into a habit. Does that make sense?
So like an exact, so going to the gym
is not a habit. That's your routine.
That's an action. Yeah. That's an action.
The workout,
is part of my routine.
The actual exercise, the actual physical thing is your habit. When it's really raining, I live in Los Angeles. I sometimes think I don't want to get in that traffic. I have to work out. So I go in my garage, I have all my stuff there. Or I work out in an office if I want to work up here, because my garage is downstairs. But I have to do something. When I'm traveling, I'm thrown off schedule, right? I'm used to working out in the evening last thing, shower, I'm all clean, eat dinner, cuddle with my husband and my cat. But when we travel, I'm not going to force my routine on the rest of the family. Like, oh, we have to go back to the hotel or wherever because I have to work out. No, I get up a little earlier. And I work out, whether they have a hotel gym or not. You know, I find how to work out. I don't care if it's 20 minutes. I don't care if it's 5 minutes. I want to do something. And then shower, good to go. I'm free the rest of the day to go walk around, do adventurous things, whatever. So that's the difference, is you are in the habit of doing something. I'm not going to go to bed without brushing my teeth because it's a habit. I don't even think about it. I just kind of scuffle off to the bathroom, brush my teeth, you know, all that stuff. So to get back to the ground floor, if you find when we're going through those actions, you have to take it with an experimental attitude. We're going to try this. I have people pick from a list of 10 and then they whittle it down to 5 and they rank them. Is it going to work? Is it fun? Is it enjoyable? Is it efficient? Is it, you know, other things? We go through it. And then they have to pick one. And usually people want to pick 2 or 3. It's like, yeah, you could. I'm not saying you're not capable, but let's just pick one. So they have to work on one. I have clients that, boom, 2 weeks go by, 3 weeks go by. Yeah, they're doing great. Others, like, this happened. If you get thrown off track once or twice, that's normal because you're not used to it. But more than that, it's not working. And we have to see why. What's working? What's not working? Put on your white lab coat and test it out. That's why I gave you, don't believe in 21 days, don't believe in 90 days. It'll take as long as it takes, right? So we also look at, and this is the psychological part, which I have to do some life coaching in, and you self-coach as well. Good habits and bad habits alike. Your brain doesn't judge if it's good or bad. Your emotions do. What you deem is good or bad. Your bad habit might be my good habit. I don't know. Your brain only knows you get a reward. Bad habit, good habit. You get that little dopamine. So if you just, I have this one lady who just cannot pull herself away from her Instagram or social media at night when she gets into bed. And she wants to sleep better because when she sleeps better, she does better the next day at her work, she's an entrepreneur, the whole bit, right? She's got the ritual down, but then, ooh, it's a compulsion, right? So we finally, and kind of personal and really deep, but she had to go there. What void was she filling with that? You know, we've all heard of FOMO, but it went deeper than that. Is she missing out? What is she missing out on? A social life? Being a celebrity? What? You know, she talked a lot about this. I'm using her as an example. Or what is it like? Sometimes people rebel. It's like, well, I've had a hard day, so I want this candy bar. Or I've had a hard day, and then just eat that whole burrito instead of portion control. They're just not thinking, right? Because they're in the habit of that, that's the reward. But really, what void are they feeling, or what reward is it that they want? Like to be a rebel? Why? And so you have to really peel the levels why. Not to get into therapy. It doesn't take years. You know why. You know why you do something. You know what you want out of it when you do that thing you don't want to do. Or when you avoid doing the thing you want to do, like turn off the light or turn off the TV at night or whatever it is. or to finally go through those boxes and declutter. And then you don't just declutter once. You can hire somebody to do that. But are you in the habit every day of doing something that keeps it organized, more or less, whatever you think is organized? So the main thing that people resist is letting go of that reward. So you have to find out, what is it you get out of it? What are you missing? And that's what you have to deal with first.
Very, very powerful stuff. And I feel like we could almost do an entire one-day workshop right now, impromptu, just on this subject.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't have that kind of time. But I wanted to make sure that if, you know, for those that are listening in that are really resonating with what you're saying, and I think we're shining some light on some different distinctions and some different beliefs of what even what we believe a habit is and is not. How do people learn more from you? I know you've got some free gifts and some things that you do. What's the best way for someone to learn more from you and even connect with you if they would like to have a conversation or explore more about how you can help them with this?
Well, I'm going to share that in a second, but I also want to say it's not all so deep, dark, and negative. There are some habits we have that we just don't realize are habits, like a cultural habit. I grew up, I'm raising my hand right here, and I invite you to raise your hand if you're listening to this. I grew up having to clear that plate, clean the plate. So I grew up cleaning the plate. It was just a habit. It wasn't a bad thing. It just was. You know, it's a lot of things is cultural, what's ingrained in you, what your family does, what your peers do. You go out, everybody gets nachos right away. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of things like, you know, I have to look at how am I in the habit of doing something? Why am I in the habit of doing something? How much am I in the habit of doing something? Like, how much are you in the habit of eating? And it may not be a negative thing. It's just like, well, I didn't realize. Know what I mean? So there are very many positive things that you can look at, and you can change this. And I want to leave you with this before I give you how you get a hold of me. You are never too set in your ways to get rid of a bad habit, and you are never too old or too late in the game to create a good habit. I have seen it. I'm working with a 79-year-old and she's so gold. I love it. So people think they're set in their ways. So I'm always on LinkedIn and I love going there. I'm also on Facebook and Instagram, but mostly on LinkedIn and my website, which you said you'd put in the show notes. It's Ronnie Lowe Life Coach. Lowe is for my last name. Ronnie, R-O-N-N-I-E-L-O, lifecoach.com.
Nice. And if you're listening to this on video, just look right beneath this video. And all of Ronnie's links are there. And if you happen to be listening to this on a podcast network, just open up your phone and the description of the episode you're listening to, all of Ronnie's links are there as well. And I highly encourage you that you do connect and learn more about this because, I mean, in my work, we're always so many conversations about this tactic or that strategy and that sort of thing. And what we talked about today, it doesn't matter what the strategy is. It doesn't matter what the tactic is. It's how we show up to it. It's what we're bringing to it and the habits that we surround ourselves with. And I think it's worth having a look.
Yeah,
for sure. And I'm going to think about them differently because of our conversation here, that distinction between a routine and a habit, because I think, based on what I heard you say, that they're very often mislabeled, right? And so people think that a habit is a routine.
And also,
I forgot. It's like,
I forgot. I'll also give you the link to my free monthly workshop. It's going to be every third Thursday of the month. Free 1 hour, and you get to interact and ask questions about me. Well, how does this pertain to me? Or blah, 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 blah. It will be free every third Thursday of the month.
Perfect. Well, that link is going to be there as well. So yes, go check that out. And look, it's free. So logically, there's absolutely zero reason not to do that. And if you liked what Ronnie and I have been talking about today, then that is going to be time well spent. I know I'm going to go check it out.
Oh, good.
So yeah, let's do it. Well, the thing is, we're always looking for ways to improve ourselves first and foremost, and then the ripple effect of that, how do we bring that to the people that we work with? And so in our community, people have their personal expertise, and mine is not habit coaching. Habits can be part of it, but I love that you specialize in that, and which is really, really cool. Ronnie, I want to thank you. I know this has been a very short time. It goes by very, very, very quickly. Some great insights in what you shared today. And thank you for inviting us to the workshop. And we've got all your links down here. And before we sign off, I'm wondering if there's just any final words of wisdom or piece of advice you want to leave our audience with here today.
I think I said it before, the links. You're never too set in your ways ever to get rid of a bad habit or create a good habit. And it takes help and support. I'm not trying to shill coaching. I'm saying whether from your partners, your kids, your workmates, your friend, it takes support because we can't internalize everything and do it on our own. Get help and give help.
Those are great words to end this episode by. Thank you so much, Ronnie. And to our audience, thank you as well. You're listening in right now. There's a reason for that. And so I think you resonate with this topic. And so therefore, you want to look beneath the video and click on Ronnie's links and go and connect with her. For sure, we want you to do that. And also on your mission to make a big impact, I want you to always remember that it's possible. Doesn't matter what the obstacle is, doesn't matter what the challenge is, there's always a solution. You might be just one collaboration away or a conversation away from a big breakthrough. And maybe that is a conversation with Ronnie or going to her workshop or whatever, you know, whatever that next step is for you. I want you to identify one thing that you heard us talk about here today, and I want you to take a step towards it, right? And by the way, easy, all the links are right there. Remember that your mission is worth it. You are worth it. We all need your gifts and the greatness that you bring to the world. And remember that the only way to fail is to quit. So keep moving forward, and we'll see you on the next one. Thank you. This episode is brought to you by the Collaborators Toolkit. If you're looking for better ways to grow and scale your business through collaborations and strategic partnerships, our free Collaborators Toolkit contains the best resources from our workshops, as well as contributions from our guests. These tools could be the missing link that you've been looking for to solve everyday business challenges and to access highly effective ideas that can grow your business exponentially. The best part is that these resources, tools, and templates are completely free and our gift to you for being a valued member of our community and a subscriber to our show. You can get free instant access to the Collaborators Toolkit today by visiting our website at www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. That address again is www.collaboratorsunite.com/toolkit. Register today, and I'll see you on the inside.